and welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. You know, this program is now into its third year, and Mickey and I decided that it's time for a fresh feel, a different sound to kick things off. We've got new music for Mercenary Musings Radio. Mickey, what do you think?
Sounds good to me. You know, we're both blues aficionados, so we decided we're going to go with a little harder edge here and put on some music we both like and try to keep this thing upbeat and fast and furious.
Yeah, get some toes tapping for the show, Mickey. I don't know how Goldbug's toes will be tapping nowadays, though, because this has been a rough stretch for gold, hasn't it? You know, the bull run in bullion, what, 11 years long? But the past 2.5 months, a rough ride for gold investors. What are you making of this retreat in the price for bullion?
Well, I think gold remains the barbarous relic. It's a barbarian that cannot be defeated. Despite the machinations of the fiat currency manipulators. Yeah, gold's taken a bit of a tumble, but let's look at what it's done. On January 3rd, the first trading day of the year, gold was at $1,598. Today it closed at $1,593. The high was on February 29th at $1,784. The low was at 1540 on May 17th last week. It's range bound as I predicted it the first of the year. We talked about gold was going to likely be range bound between 1500 and 1900. We haven't reached either of those yet. But once again, jewelry demand's down, ETF demand's down, physical bullion demand is down. But here's the key, Rob. Central bank demand is up. The central banks are buying gold right now, so the smart money is buying gold.
Okay, smart money is buying gold, but at the same time, it is from a retail investing point of view, for in the minds of many, it's really a risk-off environment right now because of that mess in Europe, isn't it?
Well, it is, and what we've seen is the euro is down lately, and of course, the dollar index is up. So let's look again at yearly highs and lows. The euro, remember the dates I gave you on gold, Rob.
Okay.
The euro had its high for the year versus the dollar 1.34. Its low May 17th, a little less than 1.27. Let's look at the dollar index. It had its yearly high on May 17th, 81.50. It had its yearly low on February 29th at 78.09. So these three so-called monetary instruments, gold, which is real money, the dollar index, which is basically a dollar valued against a basket of other currencies, and the euro, have been trading in lockstep all year long. So my question is, what's the problem here?
Well, we have to keep in mind, too, that, you know, when you look at the percentage gain in gold over the past decade or so, it's up, I think, over 400%. So if we get a correction and a fairly notable pullback like this, it should not come as a big surprise to anyone, should it?
Absolutely not. So the euro crisis, or whatever you want to call it, the ongoing debacle, which has no resolution in Europe, continues to hang over the commodities markets. But to me, this just looks like a normal correction. You know, we have the risk on, risk off scenario going on week to week, on and off. So again, I don't see anything changing in the near future. One thing we should be cognizant of is we are soon approaching, within the next six weeks or so, the yearly seasonal low for gold of July and August. So at worst, this will present a buying opportunity for physical bullion.
Okay, and you mentioned a buying opportunity. What about the two of the bigger buyers of gold on the planet, India and China? Some of their economic growth is slowing, so is that a short-term negative for gold right now, or are you kind of brushing those two off to the side because of everything else that's going on?
Well, I just saw the numbers on China, and China gold imports are up 10% over the year. India is way down, something down 22% or something like that. So what this amounts to is the Chinese still continue to buy gold, but Indians are very price conscious. So even this price of gold right now is too high for them. At some point, they will come back into the market. So, you know, gold is certainly a relic in the fact that it only has one use, and that's money. It has no real use other than that. So it doesn't really, in my mind, reflect exactly what goes on in the world economy. It's more in tune with geopolitical scenarios and what's going on in the world economically.
Okay, now, Mickey, your comments certainly indicating that you believe the bull market in bullion is still intact. At the same time, you're not in the camp that believes we're going to see gold $8,000-$10,000 an ounce. You're a lot more tempered in your price forecast, aren't you, in terms of how high you think gold will go?
Well, absolutely. I've never been a gold bug, and I don't foresee that ever happening. I've always, since the run-up in gold and starting in 2001, have been a gold bull, and I continue to be a gold bull. I mean, it's basically gold retains its purchasing power, and fiat currencies are out of control. So from that point of view, we would expect a continuing uptick on gold for as long out as I can care to predict.
Okay. What happens with gold equities along the way? Mickey, we've talked about this before in the past. You know, there's been a big disconnect between the price movement in bullion and the movement in gold equities, even with this pullback in the price of physical bullion. A huge disconnect remains there. Why have gold stocks been underperforming so badly, and do you see a narrowing of that gap at all?
Absolutely not. Gold stocks are underperforming because the companies have underperformed for the most part. The gold miners reluctantly are starting to give out some small dividends. The gold juniors as a group have performed horribly. They overpromise and underdeliver. I'm very negative on the gold equity market. I don't see that changing. Any catalyst that will change that until at least Labor Day, if even then. At some point, we will hit a bottom. There will be buying opportunities. I don't think we're there yet. We still have summer doldrums looming ahead of us over the next couple of 3 months.
Okay, well, let's switch our gears from the precious metals market to the base metals market. The metal that we often talk about, Mickey, to get a gauge on economic health, and that is copper. I believe copper, just during the first 3.5-4 weeks of this month alone, down about 9% or more. It's been a rough ride for the base metals. What's your assessment of the copper market right now?
Well, let's look again at the broader view. Let's go back to the first of the year. The last day of the year, copper traded 343, had a low of 341, a high of 347. We talked in early February, mid-February perhaps, and I felt that gold was going to be range-bound between $3.50 and $4. That's come to pass. We're halfway through Q2, and copper's taken a bit of a correction here. But let's look at its current price of $3.53. That's within our range. There's some fundamental reasons, I think, to be relatively bullish on copper right now. LME stocks continue to fall with less than 4 days of world consumption now. In fact, all inventories have fallen over the past 6 weeks. Shanghai inventories have fallen almost, 50,000 tons over the last 6 weeks. COMEX stocks have fallen since the first of the year, now down to 64,000 tons. So if you take those numbers and add them all up, the official world inventories warehouse stocks of copper right now are 458,000 tons. That's about 8 days of supply. That is less than the total LME stocks in October. So there's not a lot of copper in inventory. We are looking at extreme volatility in cancel warrants over the past 4 weeks, from 30% to 21%, back to 40%, and latest numbers are down to 16%. But that probably has to do with the fact that stocks are so low. There's been a lot of copper moved out of warehouses, especially over the last couple of months. So I see bullish signs for copper or stable signs for copper. The Chinese are starting to make a lot of noise about stimulating their economy, and so that would be very bullish for copper. And additionally, the Baltic Dry Index right now is up something like 80% since the first of February, which we talked about before the Chinese New Year. So although the Baltic Dry Index is not especially high right now at 1140, it looks a lot better than it did at 640 back in early February. So it all looks good to me. My rhetorical question again with copper would be, do we have a problem here? And I think not.
Okay. Do we have a problem in the movement of base metals equities, though, in relation to the price of copper? Is there a disconnect like we have with gold, or are they?
Yes, the copper companies are doing quite badly since the first of the year. Something down on the order of 30% to 40%. And this would include both copper producers and the junior explorers. So, from that point of view, equities have decoupled, but the commodities look strong, and at some point, bottoms get put in and commodities will catch up. These are markets that swing. As always, the pendulum swings too far one way or the other, then there are corrections.
Well, wrapping up on that note, Mickey, 2 weeks from now, what do you want to talk about?
Well, we're going to tackle the alkali metals yet, which is a very interesting group of metals that most often are used in compounds that become industrial minerals. So we'll probably start at the beginning of those, and that would be sodium, and we're going to talk about sodium and what uses it has, and as we all probably know, it does not occur as a natural metal.
Okay, sounds good. Mickey, get those toes tapping. I can hear the music coming up in the background. This is great stuff. Sit back and enjoy. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, okay?
Okay, thanks, Rob. Always a pleasure.
Okay, that is Mickey Fult, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.